Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Can we talk?
I don't have to listen to you. You don't have soul.
Now you're talking.
Who do you think you're talking to?
That's what I'm talking about.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
We are so committed to being pretenders in the Christian community, and brokenness ends pretending and releases the real passion of Christ.
I'm Jim Burns, and we're learning to speak a new language here at Homeward. It's not your traditional foreign language, but I suppose it could be classified as foreign because so few people speak it. Well, I'm talking about the language called Soul Talk, and our teacher, once again, is nationally known author and counselor, Dr. Larry Craft, and he believes that Soul Talk is the language that God longs for us to speak. If you're ready to learn to communicate and connect with your loved ones and radically change your relationships for the better, then stay tuned to Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference maker since 1899, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, and in just a moment, part two of our continuing conversation with Dr. Larry Crabb on the topic of real talk, soul-to-soul communication, that authentic connection point that everyone needs. I mean, we really do need to survive and thrive in everyday life. Before we begin, though, I want to thank you for your prayers and faithful financial support as we're kicking off the final full week of the month of June here. It's also the end of our fiscal year here at Homeward. Thank you for your prayers and financial support. If you can give a gift in support of our ministry right now, $50, $500, whatever you have on your heart, go ahead and drop us a line at homeward.com. And now here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, a very special day. It's part two of a great conversation with Larry Crabb. He's written a book called Soul Talk, Know God More Intimately and Relate to Others More Deeply Through Soul Talk. It really is, what he says, the language God longs for us to speak. And it's a lot about connection. If you didn't get to hear us last time, I tell you, we had a great conversation about the incredible desire to connect with our spouse if we're married, to connect with people. I mean, connection is a huge thing in a relational way. Larry, welcome back to our program.
It's great to be with you, Jim.
Well, speaking Soul Talk means first being a good listener in many ways. Good listeners can be pretty lonely at times. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been a person who's been lonely?
Rather regularly. And I actually think, to put this rather strangely, I think there's a sense in which the closer you get to God, the lonelier you are. I think there's some truth to that. Because we live in a culture that is not moving toward God. And the more you take God radically seriously, the fewer friends you have.
Right. Now, we talked a little bit about this last time, but I want you to review for just a minute. Your book is called Soul Talk. Today, we talk a lot about soulmates. I'm looking for my soulmate, whatever. Mm-hmm. Help us understand what soul talk in your mind is.
Soul talk in my mind is taking what is most alive within me and reaching what is most alive within you. What do I really care about the most? What is most flaming within me? Does my wife know who I really am? Do I know who she really is? Do I talk about what matters the most to me in a way that communicates with what matters the most to her? Do I have friends where I have that kind of conversation, where they get to meet the real Larry as opposed to the pretend guy, as opposed to the guy that tries to keep his image up in certain ways? Do I know what it means to speak out of the depths of who I really am, out of my soul, in a way that connects with what is really happening in your soul? And when we really meet at that level, an explosion takes place. An explosion of joy, an explosion of bonding, an explosion of actually wanting God more, our appetites for Him are stimulated. A good conversation, a soul talk conversation, is one that when the parties leave the conversation, they actually have a deeper hunger for God than they had before the conversation.
That's interesting. And yet it's hard for us to talk about our brokenness. You talk about brokenness there. I want to impress you. I mean, you're a hero and a mentor in my life. So I don't want to tell you, well, you know, boy, let me open up my life and let me tell you where I'm broken. Why is it that we're afraid to talk about our brokenness?
Well, you know, we really, in the church today, we have, this is kind of a strange answer to your question. I think we have a very weak understanding of our sinfulness. I think that we're much more concerned with our wounds that need to be therapeutically healed than our failures. And it's more comfortable to talk about where I've been hurt than where I failed. And brokenness has more to do with where I failed than where I've been hurt. I don't know if I want you to know how I fail. I've got my image to maintain. You've got your image to maintain. And if I let you know that I was at a dinner party a couple of weeks ago where I was feeling pretty insecure in the presence of some real notables, and I found myself handling my insecurity by finding fault with everybody at the table. Now, I didn't say it because I'm too polite and I'm too Christian, but I thought it. And if I could believe that at my worst, I'm going to be loved, then maybe I wouldn't be so afraid of being broken with somebody else.
You know, interestingly enough, as you talk about this, part of it is our understanding of God, because so many of us have a wrong understanding of God. We referred to this in the last program. Too many people can't understand a God who is crazy about them because they've done so many bad things in their mind.
Which is the whole point of grace. You know, read Philip Yancey's book on what's so amazing about grace, that God is a kind of God that looks at us at our absolute worst and actually sings. And I think one of the key issues in if we're going to become the people we long to be is to find the courage to look bad in the presence of love. When I have the experience of looking bad in the presence of love, something happens in my soul that gets solid. My fear begins to melt away, and I become more of a whole person. I become more of who I am when I look bad in the presence of love. That could be happening in our churches. It could be happening in our marriages. Can my wife share with me what is ugliest about her in her soul, where she's jealous, where she's cynical, where she's got all kinds of crazy thoughts? And when she says that, can I look at her and celebrate the fact that there's a beauty within her soul that no amount of ugliness can defile?
Well, that's a longing for so many people.
Oh, it's a longing for all of us.
How do you move from fairly dysfunctional relationship to that type of a relationship with your spouse if your spouse isn't willing to go deeper or to accept your brokenness?
If you're married to a spouse that is self-protected and unwilling to relate in that way, the very worst thing you can do is try to pressure him or her into being different. If your spouse is not willing to move in that direction, then you need to think passion. You need to think about what's happening inside of you. What are your motivations? How are you unsafe for your spouse? My wife then was not able to tell me about her sexual abuse until 18 years into our marriage. It took 18 years for her to believe she could tell me that without my being disgusted, without my backing away from her sexually, without my some form rejecting her. I wasn't a safe husband for a long time. And we didn't go deep, and I didn't know why. But I really prayed deeply about that and said, I would like to be a very safe man for this woman. And over the years, I think that developed a little bit along the way. And my wife finally felt comfortable enough with me to say, can I tell you about something? After 26 years of marriage, we got so stagnant in our relationship that we went away for a week to do nothing but get to know each other. And we spent one whole week asking questions of each other, like, who did God most use when you were in your first 5 years of life to touch you with love? Who did the devil most use to damage your soul? And we talked about like that for a solid week. And we got to know each other in ways that we never have known each other before.
That was soul talk.
Man, was that soul talk.
Right.
And we came away with a marriage.
Let's say you're having that conversation. You're trying to have that conversation with your spouse or with a special friend or whoever, and they're not willing to go there.
Be patient. Understand that that if they're not willing to go there, as I've said, it basically has to do with the fact that they're just scared to death. Now, they may not be used to it. That may not be something they're thinking about. They might not feel the need for it. But everybody longs for that kind of connection. And the moment I become, over time, moment is the wrong word, as I become the kind of person that is curious about you with no judgment, over time, the chances are very strong that your spouse, your friend, will want to start sharing with you.
You know, it's interesting that you have a background being a spiritual director. And in some ways, you're our spiritual director, both last time and this time, as we kind of think through it. If somebody was going to come to you and say, I want connection badly, I don't even know where to start, what would you say to them?
Start with prayer. And I don't mean by prayer that pray that you'll have connection. But what does it mean to relate deeply with God? What does it mean to become authentic with Him? That's the first thing I talk about, and I talk about that at some length. The second thing I talk about is, I would like to hear your story. I would like to hear where you have been profoundly hurt. I would like to ask you questions. If you don't know how to connect with people, if you feel like you're very isolated, I'd like to ask you questions like, when in your background, when you were a little boy, a little girl, 6, 7, 10, 15 years old, when you were a child, when did you feel best about being alive, and when did you feel worst about being alive? Let me hear those kinds of stories. Talk to me about that. And when I hear when you felt worst about being alive, when you were so embarrassed, when you were sexually abused, when you were so rejected by your father, when your mother just was so critical of you, and you were just so, hurt so badly, you developed a wrong, unbiblical definition of death. You said death is having somebody see me and move away from me and hurt me in this way. No, death is separation from God. And you have a wrong definition of death that you've been committing yourself to never experiencing again. And we start talking about that. You got to give me a couple hours on this because this gets pretty heavy duty.
It is heavy, but we get it.
When you start talking like that, and people are going to start feeling, you know, you're talking about what's really happening in me. I had a 30-minute conversation with a woman at a pastor's conference that I taught just very recently. And she said, I'm in my middle 40s. I have migraine headaches. I'm alone. And I don't know what's going on. And I just don't know how to connect with anybody. This happened literally just very recently. And we began talking about some of her childhood hurts and some of the difficulties that she had in her life. And she just began to weep. And she began to weep and saying, you know, I just have never seen how determined I am to never feel what I felt when I was a kid because that hurts so bad and I am so angry about it. And she went on like this for some length of time. And by the time she was done, she said, how come I'm feeling better? You know? And it was a good time. It was a wonderful, rich time. We had a marvelous hug at the end of that conversation.
You got into her story.
Story.
We'll get back to this in just a moment. More with Larry Crabb. An incredible conversation about soul talk. It's the desire of our heart. And we're talking about how you can have a soul talk life. Not easy. Nobody said it was going to be easy, but it can be done.
Well, and that's our theme today here on the Homeward Broadcast is real talk, soul-to-soul communication. Roger Marsh here back in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference maker since 1899. Jim, of course, the senior director, actually founding director of the Homeward Center there. And the reason we stress that is because I know a lot of people are going into ministry. They are looking for educational opportunities. And of course, the Homeward Center has those opportunities that you're looking for. If you're looking for a full-blown Master of Arts in Youth and Family Ministry, you can complete that program through APU. If you're looking for a way to actually kind of just enhance your ministry experience, the Youth Sphere program, it's a certificate program with the finest leaders, Jim Burns, Doug Fields, Duffy Robbins, and more. You can do that all online as well. Check that out. Hit the Youth Sphere link when you go to homeward.com. More from Dr. Jim Burns and Dr. Larry Crabb in just a moment as Homeward continues.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
I think religion is a personal matter.
I'm a Christian. I love the Lord.
I think there's lots of ways to get to heaven.
Kids have a lot of choices to make these days, but one of the most important ones involves where they're going to spend eternity.
You know, I tried church a couple times and it was okay, I guess. But there are some kids who are like really into Christianity, but it didn't really work for me.
If you're a parent, it's up to you to teach your kids how to make right and wise decisions. That means that you have to be the one to impress this powerful truth on them. Will they or won't they have a relationship with God? The choice is theirs.
I think I was about 10 when I realized that if I said no to accepting Christ, I'd basically be saying that I wanted to spend the rest of my life in hell. And there's no way I wanted that to happen.
Read more about developing a foundation of faith in the lives of your kids. For a free copy of my tip sheet called Helping Your Children Love God, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Larry Crabb, nationally recognized psychologist, speaker, and author, founder and director of New Way Ministries. He's married to Rachel, and they have two grown kids and four grandchildren. And Larry, it has been great to have you with us. I feel like we could keep talking for hours here. We're talking today about a book that you wrote called Soul Talk, The Language God Longs for Us to Speak. It's also the language that I think we long to. Sometimes we don't understand that. You have a great quote by a mutual friend of ours named Brennan Manning about his expectations from his relationship with God. And he said something to you. You were talking with him in the story, and he basically said when he goes to pray, he doesn't necessarily think about his time alone with God, what it's going to do for him, but he just says God just figures he likes you to show up.
Yeah. I remember when he said that to me. That was just an amazing time. I was asking him, Brennan, where are you heading after the speaking engagement we were sharing? And he said, I'm going to go on a silent retreat for 7 days. And I said, silent retreat for 7 days? What do you do for 7 days of a silent retreat? I said, what does that do for you? How does that change you? Well, what does God do for you in the middle of that? He says, I don't know. I never thought of that. And I said, well, what do you do it for? You know, with my immaturity. And his response was just what you said. He said, you know, when I get away with God, I just figure God enjoys it. God likes it when I show up. Now, that's relational intimacy. That's getting close to your Heavenly Father. And that's what I think gives Brennan some of his power in being able to speak soul talk. Very few people have spoken really, really rich soul talk with me. Brennan's one of them.
Yeah. And it's because he speaks soul talk with God.
Yes. No, the relationship with God.
What you're saying is if we can't speak soul talk to God, we're probably not going to be able to speak soul talk to another person.
That's absolutely the case. Because if I'm not connected with God in a soul relationship with my Heavenly Father, with my Savior, with the Holy Spirit who indwells me, if all that is just a bunch of God talk, then I'm going to be coming to you demanding that you do what only God can do for me. When Rachel and I got married, we met at age 10. And
that was a little young to get married.
Well,
did I say we
got married at age 10?
No.
We met at age 10.
No, I'm kidding.
And we couldn't start dating then because she was going to study with Carl. But when she when she broke up with Carl at 12, I moved into her life a little bit, and we dated for the years, and we got married. And I believe that when I stood before the preacher with my wife 40 years ago, I believe that as I said out loud the words, I promise to love, honor, cherish, dwell, kind of neat things till one of us dies, you know, I think down deep what I was saying was, you know, I'm a hurting guy, and you don't know about that. And you have made me feel pretty good about myself. And here's my commitment. I'm going to stick around for as long as you keep making me feel pretty good about me. And I believe my wife was saying the same thing. As she said all of her lovely words and her beautiful white dress, I didn't know about her sexual abuse when we got married. And I think she was saying, you know, in our courtship, you have honored me. You have not pushed yourself on me physically. You've been kind to me. I like the way you make me feel. And I think what it means to be married to you is to give you the chance to heal my wounds and to make me feel like a lovely woman. I think both of us went into our marriage manipulating each other because we didn't know God very well, requiring the other to come through for us. I call it a tick on a dog relationship. And the problem, of course, is there's two ticks and no dog. You know, I mean, what are you going to do here? And I think I'm just demanding. And I think it's taken me many of the years of my marriage to realize that when I know the Lord well, the more I come to Him, the more I relate to Him powerfully, the more I get to realize how much He's for me and loves me and indwells me, then I'm able to come to my wife as a whole person, not requiring her to make me whole, but speaking out of the wholeness that God has provided to touch my wife's soul. When she does the same things, we start having a pretty darn good marriage.
Hmm. That's when the connection comes in.
That's when the connection comes in.
Hmm. Larry, John Ortberg talks about the importance of distinguishing between trying or training yourself, even in spirituality. So sometimes we just try to be Christian. Hmm. What we need to do is train. Sometimes in training, it's not always pleasant. You have kind of a corollary, and we talked about it a little while ago, about the principle regarding brokenness. Brokenness is not training or effort. It's a key to discovering the releasing the holy passion of soul talk. Now, we really didn't talk about this holy passion of soul talk. Help me understand that.
Let me tell you what to me is the real center of the good news of the gospel. Not only are we forgiven, that's kind of big news. Not only are we going to heaven, that's kind of good news too. But the real center of the gospel in my mind is that God has literally put His life in the deepest part of my soul. I am now indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and that means that I have a holy passion within me. I have an appetite for God, and I want to love you. That is actually deeply within me, but it gets buried beneath all of my fears, get buried beneath all of my insecurities, get buried beneath all of my self-centeredness. And when I'm broken over how I relate to you, when I'm broken over how I fail my wife, when I can see that I've hurt my wife, and that I have hurt my wife because of my self-centeredness, my manipulative style of relating, then in my brokenness, I become aware of something that is deeper within me than my sin. What is deeper within me is a holy passion to love this woman with the love of God. And out of the brokenness, this perfume comes out. I begin to smell kind of good. And I actually move toward my wife with a love that she starts enjoying things. There really is the passion of Christ within me. What did Paul say in Colossians 1:29? He said that when I talk, when I preach, when I speak to people, I do it with the passion, with the energy of Jesus, which so powerfully works in me. Can you imagine a conversation where we could say that to each other, that the passion of Christ is powerfully working in me, it's being released out of my soul? That only takes place when you're broken over what a self-centered pain in the neck you can sometimes be. You know, how manipulative, how tick-on-a-dog type person you are, how you're neurotically working to get people to like you and to be impressed with you. When I said to Tim Burke, a friend of mine that I spent some time with, when I said to him, Tim, I've been intimidated by you. you're a tall, good-looking professional athlete, and I'm a short, very average-looking, frustrated athlete, and I've been trying to impress you. He just laughed. And he said, Larry, I knew you were a mess. I had no idea you were that much of a mess. But as I was able to acknowledge what a mess I was, I got in touch with the fact I love this guy. And I really was able to care about him. And he and I have done public work together. And he said, you know, Larry has gotten into the depths of my darkness and my misery with me. And I felt Jesus coming out of him. And I'm saying, how'd that happen? Jesus came out of me? And it's when I'm broken over the fact that I'm not much of a person that I discover I really am somebody because of Jesus. And then a holy passion begins to be released out of my soul.
It's being in touch with our own brokenness.
Being in touch with brokenness.
I have a very good friend. In fact, you've spoken at his conference in Hawaii named Dan Chun. And I sent two youth workers to him. He was going to do some interviewing. One was probably what you'd call an A-plus person. One was more of a B. Both wonderful. He called me up and said, hey, we chose letter B. And I said, why'd you choose B instead of A? He said, because I don't know if A has ever been broken, and I only hire broken people.
Interesting. That's wisdom.
Because out of our brokenness is where healing comes, both in our own soul, but also in the soul of the people that we would touch.
We are so committed to being pretenders in the Christian community, and brokenness ends pretending and releases the real passion of Christ.
And in many ways, we have to change our attitude from what you say in your book, self-talk, to soul talk.
Yes. What a radical shift. That do I talk with my well-being in view? Do I talk to use you to promote my well-being? And do I even recognize that I'm doing it? And I do it a lot without even knowing it. Or do I speak out of the deepest part of me with your well-being in view and God's pleasure in view? When I speak with your well-being in view, whether it's my wife or my kid or my friend or whoever, then I'm doing soul talk. When I speak to protect myself, because I don't want you to hurt me, I want you to like me, I want you to take care of me, I'm doing self-talk. And that doesn't edify or encourage anybody.
So we need to be drawn towards soul talk. Larry, this time has gone by so fast. Thank you for your words of wisdom.
Wonderful chatting about this topic that means the world to me.
Well, it means the world to all of us because we need this and want this, and you have your thumb on an incredible topic. Thanks again for being with us.
Great. Thank you.
And that concludes Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with Dr. Larry Crabb here on the Homeward Broadcast. And I can speak from experience. Larry's book, Soul Talk, is life-changing. If you are looking for a way to deepen your communication level and especially to get to a more authentic place in communication, I highly recommend it. I know Jim recommends it too. And you can learn more about it when you go to homeward.com. We have a link to Larry's website today. If you are in a married situation right now, you and your spouse are looking for a way to grow deeper in your communication together, I want to recommend Dr. Jim Burns' book. It's very, very simple. Book is called Closer. It's 52 faith conversations for parents, actually, moms and dads. And you start having this dialogue. It's kind of like doing devotions without having devotions. It's a great way to grow deeper in your intimacy. You can order Closer directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center. And when you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. Thank you for that tax-deductible donation at homeward.com. Jim, good conversation today. I mean, a lot of couples get engaged in shallow talk, and this is a dialogue that wants us to go deeper.
Well, this was great having him in studio. You know what? He speaks authentic. He's genuine.
Yeah.
He tells it like it is. He loves God. I mean, he's just one of these great guys, and I think we can learn a lot, and I sure learned a lot from this conversation. I will be a different person because of having Larry Crabb, and that's what I'm so excited about at Homeward. We get the chance to do this, and you and I get to have these people in studio. And
we are very fortunate.
It really is a great thing. I think that God has wired us with the need for connection and community. I really do. And even the most introverted person still has that fundamental need to love and be loved. And in many ways, that's what Larry was talking about today. It's how God made us, and this is why I love what Larry has taught us, because we really do seek connection and seek soul talk, but it means sometimes we have to be open and genuine first. Far too often, we end up only engaging in empty and hollow conversations that really end up isolating us from our children or from our spouse or even our friends. And when we do this, we become isolated, unmoved, untouched, because our conversations rarely reach the soul. So this whole idea of being genuine is critical. Now, Roger, I have to ask you a question.
Yeah.
You said you were tired of shallow talk. Does shallow talk mean talking about sports incessantly?
Now, sports are, that's the deep ocean of humanity, and it touches so many different levels of a person's soul, Jim. I mean, how do I love baseball? Let me count the ways.
Okay, so Roger can talk about, shallow talk does not include baseball, hockey, football, or basketball.
Not yet in my reality, anyway.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, that's great stuff. I'm just teasing you. Appreciate so much you listening today. Really a great program, and Larry Crabb has so much to say. And once again, let me say to you that I appreciate you tuning in to Homeward, and I appreciate so much that so many of our people are beginning to understand that we are listener-supported. We are a listener-supported broadcast and a podcast, as well as all the other great things that Homeward does, and I hope you'll find out more about what we're doing if you're new to our program. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.